Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
It is another Wellness Wednesday. It is exciting to be here. We are happy to be here this morning. We've got a lot of things to talk about. And Andy, we appreciate you being willing to share your experiences. This is Elder Care Radio. We are from Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. My name is Richard, and this is Kaylee. And we are excited about sharing information for our elder community that may help make lives better and everybody happier. So it is good to be here this morning with you.
It's just our attempt to keep you informed and updated of all the benefits that are available that you may not have been aware of.
That's right. So, Andy, last week you mentioned to us, and we were going to take advantage of this, that you had a different plan going in to see your doctor, and that you had said you were going to have a real discussion with him.
Yeah, so a couple of things happen when we go to the doctor. You guys know this as well as anyone. We forget all the stuff we were going to ask him, especially if we don't write it down. And then sometimes you mention a couple of things, and the doctor will say something like, well, you're just getting old, or well, that just comes with aging, or whatever. And so, you know, I've been through some experiences where I have seen just about every kind of doctor you can imagine for some of the health issues I had. I finally decided about maybe 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, to write it all down. I put together it was 2 pages, so it wasn't that long, but I wrote down everything. I kind of did an out-of-body experience and wrote down exactly, okay, patient does this, patient has this, patient is this. And I took that to the doctor when I went to see the doctor this week. And I think I finally got his attention.
And love it.
I don't want to diss on doctors because doctors have a hard job and they work so hard. But I think they get a piece of the pie every time. Right. And right. I really felt the need to give him the whole pie, to say, this is everything I've experienced. Now let's talk about it and deal with it. And it worked.
Well, if we remind everybody that a doctor with the new insurance procedures, not that new, 25 years of changes, yeah. But they might have 2,000 patients.
Yeah.
So while they may remember, oh, hi, Andy, they remember your face and they mm-hmm. remember your kids and that you have somebody going to college or getting married, do they remember the details like, oh, I took your gallbladder out 4 years ago? Maybe
right.
not.
Right.
And so it really is up to you. And that's why we do a lot of shows on being your own best medical advocate. And I'm proud of you. That was great. That
yeah.
was the perfect thing to do to
it's your fault.
Take control and to help your doctor help you better.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
good.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize your doctor does all they can with what they have.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, what do they have when they walk into that exam room with you? Well, they have a file that they've been adding to for a long time, but they haven't had time to go through and tease all the sure. pertinent information out of that. They walk in and ask you. And if you're not prepared to give them that update, to give them an overall picture so that they have a place to work with, and you just say, well, I hurt here, you know, that
right.
that's all you say is, well, this is where it hurts.
Right.
Then that's all they're going to focus on is, well, this is where it hurts. But if you say, well, I'm hurting here, but these are the things that have happened in the past, and these are the medications I've been on, and these are the things that I've noticed, then you create a bigger picture for them to work from. So I think that's great. I'm
right.
glad you did it.
Remember, a medical assistant kind of takes the information that they think is most relevant to this appointment. They usually put on the forefront the things that you talked about last visit so that you can address those things. How is your new medication doing? Is your foot feeling better? Whatever that
yeah.
is. And your doctor has 2 or 3 minutes out in the hall to kind of give himself a summary. So if you believe that he will know, you know, remember every medication that he's changed for you, you're mistaken.
Yeah.
If you believe that he will remember that he sent you to, you know, 5 different specialists, he did not go into those specialist accounts and glean out of that all the information or the appointment summaries. That's up to you to do that. That is your obligation. You can only care for yourself.
And it's worth noting, when you do go to a specialist, they probably don't have access to that same file. They might
don't.
Have a summary or a paragraph mm-hmm. from your doctor saying what the problem is. I experienced that where I went to a couple of different specialists and they're like, well, what's wrong? And I said, well, don't you have a report? And they're like, well, all I have is this little reference.
Right. In most cases, no. Nobody sends it to them. In fact, we should all realize that even when we go to the hospital and they ask you who's your primary care physician and you give them the name, so many of us, I'm guilty of it, has just assumed, well, they ask that because they want to notify my doctor. Yeah. Not true. They will not tell your doctor. And as you're being discharged, they say to you, follow up with your doctor in the next 10 days to 14 days. And you call the doctor's office, and your doctor does not even know you were in the hospital. And you're irritated. Oh, you must not care about me. You didn't yeah. even know I was in the hospital. Yeah. But nobody gives them that information. So you must advocate for yourself. You must keep records. If you're incapable of doing it, take somebody with you, you know, a spouse or a child or a good friend, and help each other. It's, you know, it's unfair to put all the load on the doctor because they have a huge caseload. That being said, you know, we've always been taught, watch out for number one. Nobody will yeah. care more about your needs than you.
Right. And it's interesting, when we start looking at the system, you know, you go into the hospital for something, right? And on your way out, you may be given some information. Well, that wasn't an individual's thought process that did that. It was a program. It was a process. And you may miss out on some of those things because they may specifically, if you are given an opioid, for instance, they may specifically give you an instruction sheet on that. But if you're giving a different medication that may be just as critical for your own well-being, there may not be an instruction sheet that comes with that. And so you may be given this thing and just says, well, take these, and you don't know why, or that physical therapy or other things that will help you recover. And so it's important for you to make sure you have a good picture of what's going on when you're leaving your doctor. Make sure that there aren't any outstanding questions, that you're looking ahead and saying, okay, so if I get home, what are the next things I'm going to do after this doctor's appointment or after this visit to the hospital?
Another important note, and we've had a lot of comments from our listeners about this, or patients, where they've shown up at the hospital, and of course, usually you're going in kind of in a crisis mode, but even when you're not, you may have a couple of the meds that you take, and you take that in with you. But if you get admitted to the hospital, the hospital, you know, asks you for your medications maybe day two, day three. But in the meantime, they've been prescribing you other medications, right? Because they're dealing yeah. with your issues. So then you get home and you have these new pain meds and you're still having the old pain meds. You must take that information to your doctor. And that's why they tell you to follow up with your primary care doctor. Sooner is better than later. Have them reevaluate all the new meds. And maybe they'll say, oh, I like you're responding well to the one that you got in the hospital. Let's drop this other one. Or they may say, get rid of that one. You know, I have in your records here that you've already been on it for this many months, and we'd like to keep your body from building up resistances to it. So let's go back to this one. But that is all between you and your doctor. And if you don't present them with all the information, they won't have the most information to help you the best.
Right. When you go into the hospital, the hospital isn't going to make the effort to find your old medical records from your doctor and work
time.
Off of that. No, they're doing what they do. And then they're going to create a record for themselves. And your doctor isn't going to receive that. The hospital doesn't tell your doctor you're in the hospital. So your doctor will never know unless you tell them. So it would be great if you are getting an instruction set, or if you're getting some information, that you can get two copies of that and just drop one off at your doctor's office on your way home from the hospital.
Well, good time to remember, it's not just your discharge paperwork that yeah. you're looking for. You need to immediately call the hospital and ask for a copy of what? Plan of care and narratives.
Yeah,
that's right. Why do you want that? Because that's the total picture of what happened while you were in the hospital. That's much more detailed than just a discharge. Okay. Now, we're talking a lot about hospitals, but it's really when you go to any specialist. When you go to a heart specialist, you need to bring the copy of your plan of care, your medical records and narratives to every doctor appointment with you. Will you end up with a file? Yeah, you kind of will. As things are checked off, you can cross them off. If remind yourself, oh, I wanted to ask, I got put on this new pain med or this heart medicine. Does it interact with any of your other meds? Take it to your primary care doctor and have them look.
Yeah, if you can give your primary care doctor a copy of that so that they can put it in the file and bring one with you so that you can talk to your doctor on your next appointment. So, you know, after you go to the hospital, maybe you stop by the doctor's office and say, hey, these are the things that happened at the hospital, and I'd like to set in a follow-up appointment with you, you know, for however long it takes to get to see your doctor. But if we just have that plan going out, then we're going to be better off than just being a victim of not really having a plan.
And please don't assume that because you called your doctor's office and said, hey, I'm calling to schedule an appointment. I was in the hospital for 3 days. They told me to do a follow-up appointment. They'll make your appointment, but do not assume that they are then going to pull up all your records from the hospital. It might happen, but it might not. And who is the best advocate for themselves? You. You're your own best advocate. So just make sure that didn't fall through the cracks, that somebody didn't forget to do that, because you're responsible for you.
And I will say, Andy, from your experience, I'm guessing that your doctor will remember your meeting with them, because it may have been a bright spot in their day. They may have said, man, I've actually got a patient that cares about themselves. They're not just leaving it on me. They want to be involved in this, and I can work with them to do some things.
He's also going to, know that you are going to ask him questions, so he might be a little more prepared. Not a bad thing.
Keep him on his toes, huh?
Yeah, a little bit.
And I don't know that anybody who is good at what they do doesn't mind doing the best they possibly can.
Oh, absolutely. People want to do well.
Yeah, and so your doctor wants to do well for you, and if you help them get there, then they're going to do better. So that's exciting.
Great.
So, again, those are personal stories, and I appreciate you willing to share that. Sometimes you surprise us with what you're willing to put out there on the radio.
Well, it's so helpful to our listeners if they can identify and recognize, relate to something. So thank you for sharing.
I'm not afraid.
Good.
And I'm glad.
I'm an open book. We can talk about COVID, too. I had that if you want to.
Yeah, we could.
The numbers are surging, but there's still some good news in everything. So.
Okay. All right, so we also have some other good news. We had mentioned a while ago that the St. George Catholic Church has invited us to speak, but we hadn't set a date. That date is now set, September 14th. That's Tuesday, and starts at 6:30 in the evening. And we are excited about doing this, getting information out there. The title of the discussion is going to be, what is palliative care and why do I care? And I came up with that.
Will cause some question, why do I care?
Why do I care about that? But we really want the community to know, and this is going to be done through the Stephen Ministry at the Catholic Church. And if you're not familiar with what the Stephen Ministry is, it is a volunteer organization that goes out and tries to help the community, and we think that's great. We have a lot of parallel goals here. In fact, from their website, it says, death of loved one, including pets, loss of employment, financial hardship, impairments to our health or that of a family member or friend, loneliness, spiritual dryness, all can create a need for someone not only willing to listen, but who can offer hope and support during a difficult time.
Which brings up the point, we were honored to be contacted by them. Some of the leaders of the Catholic Church or administration in the Catholic Church had heard our program and thought that it could be a program that really benefited the Stephen Ministry, that they would understand some of the programs and resources available. So we have created a flyer, and we will be attaching that to our Facebook page and to our website. And we're asking all of our listeners to go in and read it and share it with your friends and loved ones. And the truth is, it's great to know far in advance of needing the help. But it's also an opportunity if you know people that are struggling or could use some assistance in the home. It's a difficult conversation, but what a great way to say, hey, let's go to this program, this event. There's going to be games and refreshments, and we can say hi to old friends and meet some new friends. And it's just a very easy conversation to have that way. And I think every one of you will be absolutely amazed at some of the information you'll get out of this meeting. And it will be fun. We're playing games and giving prizes.
Well, and you guys are more informed about palliative care than almost everybody else in the community. So we would love it if you would come and
answer questions.
Answer some questions for people who just want to, talk in the back. But be willing to ask those questions because there are going to be people there who aren't sure that they're comfortable asking a question. They don't know exactly how to frame that question. But if you're willing to ask us a question that we can answer, then we get that information out. So being the thought leaders that you are in this community, because you listen to KDXU, we would like you to be there and help move this conversation along and get some really good information out there for the people who are involved in Stephen Ministries, the community that's going to be there, because this is not just the leaders there. They are opening up their entire community and the Southern Utah community at large. We would like everybody to show up. If we can get a couple, 300 people there, the facility can handle it, and we would love that that information out there so the community does better? Because you know that we want people in this community to really understand what palliative care can be. Now, I do want to, I know that personal invitations are important, and I would like to extend that personal invitation to everybody. So let me start with Aaron, Abby, Adam, Aiden, Alexander, and Andy. We'd like to personally invite you to join us on September 14th, 6:30.
Are you going to go through the alphabet?
At Coosie Hall at the Catholic Church downtown, and then Babette and Brian and
okay, this is Romper Room, which yeah. brings us back to, go back to your school days. When you show up at this event, again, it is September 14th. That's a Tuesday evening, 6:30 to 8. The doors will open at 6. It's at the Catholic Church, 259 West, 200 North, just down the street from the Senior Center.
Mm-hmm.
Come out and enjoy some refreshments and some games, and don't be afraid to ask questions. Back to your school days, there are no dumb questions.
Yeah.
And if you have a question, there's probably 20 other people around you that have the same question that we're too afraid to ask. So please come out and participate and support us and ask those questions. We'd greatly appreciate that.
So, and going back to this individual invitation, I know that it's important and it works for people. If you read this announcement in your church bulletin and you think, oh, that this doesn't really apply to me, then I would like you to call me because I want to personally invite you. And I'll say this, if you feel like you'd like to have a personal invitation, just text me your name and I will call you personally and invite you to come to this.
Remind you.
Yeah, because we would like everybody to come. We'd like to know who's coming, but I don't want anybody to think at the last minute, oh, you know, I would have gone to that, but I didn't place a reservation. I don't care about the reservation. Show up.
Reservations do help us know that we have plenty of food. So.
Yeah, but if you show up, there will be room for you. We really want this. So if your Tuesday evening, all of a sudden, all of those plans you had melt away and you have, you know, a little free time, 6:30 to 8 o'clock that night, I would love to see you come out, bring your friends, family, whatever. If you know somebody that you think might get some benefit out of that and would appreciate that social interaction and the information we're going to give, text me their name and number. I will give them a call. I will make those calls because I know how important that is.
Even if you don't think you have a need or that your neighbors have a need, come out and meet us. It'll be fun. We're going to play some games. We're going to have some refreshments. You'll get to meet people in the community. And it's been a long year of solitude. So come out and say hello to some friends.
Okay. So we hope everybody's going to come out to that. And then we've got a couple other points that we'd like to make. We're coming up on the end of the show. But the weather, you know, this rain this morning has really cooled it down, and it's going to be exciting that it's kind of cooled. And if you have not been, you know, taking advantage of our recommendation to get out and do a little walking or just get outside because of the heat, now would be a great time to do that. If it's a small hike that you're willing to go on, maybe just around the neighborhood or whatever. But, you know, there's some great short hikes. There's the one to the Temple Quarry, which is, you know, just off a bluff, and it's on Donnelly. You know, it's Andy.
Easy hike.
Have you been on that hike? Have you done that?
Once, many, many, many years ago.
It's a pretty easy hike, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's more
a nice
of a stroll.
Walking path,
yeah, it's
right?
a stroll. There's a little historical information there, so that's all, you know, worth doing. So we would encourage you to get out and do that. Either take a hike anywhere. And I looked online last night. There's 15 hikes, more than 15, in the St. George area that are less than 2 miles. But if you don't think you can hike that far, that's okay. Just get out in your neighborhood and walk around. If you don't think you can even walk, then just put a chair out in your front yard and enjoy what's going on around us. You know, you may be able to wave at a neighbor or talk to them or a car driving by. But just let's start creating those connections again that we've been missing for so long. I know we've gotten in the habit of social distancing and trying to stay away from everybody, but let's see if we can change that. And we know that exercise,
Vitamin D from the sun.
Vitamin D from the sun. Those things are all great. They have great, you know, vast improvements for our bodies. And we can go down a laundry list of those, or we can just say, hey, whatever it does for you is worth doing.
Andy, are there any favorite hikes you have any to recommend?
Oh boy, what a great question. I don't know. I like to go out to Zion and go to the Emerald Pools. I think that's one of my favorite hikes. We did it 1 year, and it was early in the spring, and it was still icy.
Wow.
It was kind of fun, but kind of a little bit scary, too, because we're sliding around on the slickness. So, yeah, anything out in Zion is fun, although lately it seems like Zion has been so packed.
I know. Bryce Canyon, too. It's really, really packed.
Oh, I love Bryce,
But there's just so much, even locally. It's amazing if you search how many fairly easy walks, and any walking is good, exercise is good, and anything you can do to move, but there's quite a few around here.
I have a friend who's a respiratory therapist, and he said, you know, just set yourself a goal. If you can't make it around the block, set a goal to get to the mailbox. Mm-hmm. Next day, set a goal to maybe get three houses down or whatever. And so eventually, as you go a little teeny bit further every day, you are all of a sudden you're around the block, or you're walking a mile, or you're walking two or whatever.
Right.
Well, and I think that's the important thing. We're not trying to set lofty goals that we're not going to achieve.
Yeah.
There's an old phrase, Voltaire said this in French, and it was, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good, right? Mm. We don't have to be perfect at this. We don't have to be able to do a marathon to get started. Just start. If it's walking to the door and stepping through it, if that's what it takes, then do that. If it's, you know, if you can get to the mailbox, then do that. If you can, you know, whatever you can do, because all of that physical activity has positive effect on us. If it reduces our pain, if it helps with a little bit of constipation, I think we can all say that that's, you know, a plus side to that. So it would be great if we all just made that effort this week. Again, the weather is cooler right now, so we can take that away. But I also want you to know that if you don't feel that you can even do that, if you're in a state of mind that that's just too much, I would like you to give me a call. You know, no obligations, no promises, no commitments. Just let me know that that's, you know, where you're at, that you don't even feel that you can get out of the house and do that. We'd take that call and see if there are things that we can talk about.
Or volunteers that we can send to be with you in case you're afraid that you might fall on a walk. We can send volunteers out to maybe walk with you, put a little senior walk group together, because it is helpful. It will really benefit you if you just get out and do some movement.
But if that idea scares you, that's okay. We're not going to commit you to that. Just give us a call and let's just talk. And then one other thing that we would like to make, I guess, an activity for this week for everybody is, and this is a little bit tough, choose a mortuary. Make that decision, commitment to choose a mortuary. Now, we're not saying that you need to pay for pre-need or anything else.
Or that you're going to use it soon.
Yeah. Just write the name of a mortuary down and choose that. Now, you don't have to commit to it. You can change it. As you get more information, you can change the mortuary you're going to use. But from our experience, as we, you know, we come into contact with people who are at that time in their life where that decision has to have been made and they haven't made it, right. It adds so much stress on top of other things.
Yeah, it's hard on the family.
And if you're not ready to decide, you know, what casket or where you want to be buried or anything else, that's okay. There can be people who can help make that decision. Family can if you can't do it. But those are decisions that we have a few days to make. But the mortuary, that's a few hours. So if all you do is choose one of the 11 mortuaries that are in this area, there's 9 in St. George, 2 in Hurricane, and 3 in Cedar City, and the, you know, there's some duplication there. But if you're willing to just put a name down so that decision is made, that would be a great decision. If you then want to research and find out what some of the differences are, you may change your mind, and that's fine. Change that name. But we really think that just make the effort this week to choose a mortuary. You can call some of them. They're more than happy to answer questions. But if you don't do that, at least call. Our telephone number, 435-477-6999. We look forward to your calls this week. Thanks for being here.
Have a great week, everyone.